Welcome into Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. It has been a whole week without
vacation.
A show. Back from vacation.
Like,
oh, yeah, I can definitely tell.
Yeah, thank you.
So we know you have a couple weeks stored up of thoughts, comments, questions, and it finally starts feeling like training camp is around the corner, which is nice. It has felt like forever away for so long. You hit that dead period in offseason after all the draft and the OTAs. And it just feels like an eternity, and now...
I don't know. I've been working hard every day. I don't know what you've been doing up there.
You're right. I don't know either. But, yeah, now we're finally there. It feels like it's getting close. So send us all those thoughts, comments, questions you have. Use that hashtag BucksLive. We'll get to those in the final segment. For right now, because training camp feels like it's at least around the corner, only a couple weeks left, we wanted to talk about maybe some of the guys that have the most to gain. That everybody is excited to see some of the guys that are, you know, your Gerald McCoys that they're just big fans of. But you kind of know about Gerald McCoy. It's not like training camp is really going to tell you a whole lot about him. He's going to get out there and do what he does. Well, but some players, as far as training camp, could really be a deciding factor for them.
Well, if you consider the training camp, the two main purposes of training camp, one of them is kind of along the lines of what you're talking about, is reducing the roster from 90 to 53 and figuring out the depth chart. But the other one is getting the team ready for September 10th in that first game. And from that standpoint, every player, including Gerald McCoy, has a lot to gain. And they know that. The training camp is very hard work, even if you're not at all worried about losing your position. And, you know, if you ask a coach, any coach in this league, during the offseason, and they always get these questions, you know, how are you doing? Are you on schedule? How's the team coming along? The answer is always some variation of, well, we're where we should be, but it's a long way to go. Mm-hmm. And, Coach Cutter said something to that effect at minicamp, which was mid-June. And mid-June is not that far away from the beginning of the season, but it shows you how important training camp is, because when they say they've got a long way to go, they mean they need to make up that ground from June 28th until September 9th. And that encompasses training camp and then the rest of the preseason after camp officially breaks, but it's all kind of the same thing.
Right, yeah.
So from that standpoint, I guess I'm just being kind of pedantic there, but from that standpoint, everybody has a ton to gain. But what we really want to talk about, right, is those players that – can make some sort of advancement in their career.
That it's not as much just even about the team and how they can improve, but that individual player, how much they stand to gain.
I'll give you a little subset of the guys that I really am most looking forward to seeing along those lines, and that's those young players who we didn't see yet in the offseason because they were overcoming injuries. You got Jeremy McNichols, the new running back. Really want to see him in action. And Justin Evans didn't practice a whole lot, the second-round draft pick. Kendall Beckwith. All these guys that we drafted that we really haven't seen much of yet, but could be important parts of the team. And they probably will be, but they still have to prove it. You know, Jeremy McNichols, from everything we hear, is probably going to be good and be a part of the offense, but he still has to go out there and prove that he deserves those opportunities, which he probably will, but he has all of that to gain. So players like that that really haven't practiced much yet, they've been – doing the important job of getting over their injuries.
Right.
Another one in that same boat, Noah Spence. We hear all his teammates talking this offseason about how he's primed to have a huge breakout season in his second year, but he has to get there, you know. And that guy, all those guys that are now coming back, they're supposed to be ready for the start of training camp. I think that's the first group that I'd put to answer this question.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think that especially when they're rookies, you're already just excited to see them get out there regardless of whether or not they've been injured.
Right.
Because even the off-season program, even the rookies that were able to participate, when you're not hitting or getting hit, it's still very hard to tell what you're getting from those new untested, unproved guys that you don't have the NFL film to look at. I mean, all the rookies, it seems like training camp is when you really start seeing the separation of guys for either starting positions or those roster spots.
Partly because they can hit each other.
Yeah.
About four practices in, they put on the pads and they start hitting, and that makes all the difference in the world for some of these positions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd sure like to see how J.R. Sweezy is looking. You know, I think they're really high on him. I love that. I think I've mentioned before when Coach Cutter said, hey, I know our fans like the way Joe Holly plays. Well, Sweezy's a much bigger guy, but he plays it the same way. And unfortunately, because of his back injury, we were really excited about signing him in March of 2016, and then we didn't get to see him play.
Mm-hmm.
And now if they stick with the line they were going with as the first line all offseason, he's starting at right guard. But he has a lot to gain from the beginning of camp on.
That's true.
When they start hitting.
Outside of the guys coming off of injuries, what are some of the other guys that have been healthy the whole time, but you still think this training camp could be big?
Well, I think you got to look at Jameis Winston and his new weapons, as we like to call them, because not that I think any of them specifically have a ton to prove, maybe the rookies, O.J. Howard and Chris Godwin, but they all have to sort of mesh, right? Jameis Winston needs to develop, and I think people overdo the word chemistry, but I can't think of a better word to replace it right now. So Jameis Winston needs to develop that connection, maybe, with DeSean Jackson and with O.J. Howard, and learn exactly what they do best, where they're going to be, you know, what's the best type of plays that I can get the most out of with these guys. And so Jameis Winston plus those new players have a lot to gain. And I think about it, after Mike Evans' second year, which was Jameis Winston's first year, and people were giving Mike a little bit of trouble for not as having as good of a season as maybe they expected, even though he had improved from his rookie season and everybody loved him as a rookie. And to be fair, Mike himself didn't feel like it was as good of a season as he could have done. And one of the things that he admitted to and that he agreed on when it was brought up was that he didn't have as good of a connection with Jameis as he wanted to, as he should. And they were able to build that last year. And I'm sure some of that was in the offseason, but I'm sure training camp helped as well. And then you saw what happened. I mean, Jameis Winston and Mike Evans as a tandem with that connection was awesome.
Yeah.
So hopefully none of the new guys will have that one intermediate season where it's not as good as they want. So training camp will be a great opportunity for all those guys to get that connection.
I think that makes sense, especially when you've heard so much about how much they want to improve on the deep ball and how much of that is timing. And especially with a guy like DeSean Jackson, who is so fast that where you're used to placing a deep ball is probably a few yards short of where you're going to need to place it for DeSean Jackson. And until Jameis just gets to do that over and over and over and remind himself, oh, yeah, this guy is really fast.
I need to throw it a little farther.
A little further down. Yeah. He is really fast.
And to be fair, that is a specific part of Jameis' game, not just with DeSean, that I know that he and the team want him to get better at, the deep ball. I think that was maybe the one area in his first 2 years that it's a little bit of surprise it hasn't been as good as it would be. I thought coming out of college that was one thing that everybody liked about him. And he's had two really good years.
Yeah.
But think about how much further they can go if he starts hitting that deep ball with more regularity. And so, yes, with DeSean Jackson in particular, but with all his guys, just getting that out. And he said last year he needs to give his players a chance. You just, I mean, every deep ball is not going to be perfect, but you got to get it, give them a chance. You got to put it in the vicinity.
Right. I think for me, the one I'm most interested to see in training camp, I mean, you and I have always talked about how much we love those O-line, D-line one-on-ones. I would just say the D-line overall I think will be really interesting to see in training camp because you just have so many either A, guys coming off the injuries, like you mentioned, Noah Spence, but also Jacquees Smith and guys like that. But then you also have Stevie Tuikolovatu and you have, you know, Chris Baker and just so many either new additions or guys that we suspect could take a big jump up. Noah Spence, Will Golston, Jacquees Smith, that I think the line overall to see who ends up being those main four guys and then some differences on, you know, rushing versus run package.
Right.
That group overall, because it is so frustrating to try and watch them in spring ball, and they just kind of stand there and, ugh. And that's all we see.
Well, first of all, very nice after all that break on nailing Stevie Tuikolovatu on your first try.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I was worried after our couple-week break that I was going to have lost that.
Just right back on the
saddle. The short-term memory was not there.
And then, you know, I agree with your point there. And the one time that maybe I think you can see a little bit like, wow, this guy might be on a higher level is when they're doing those drills where they're running through multiple bags and tackling the quarterback at the end. And some guys just look really fast in that drill. And you know, I think sometimes I get a little too excited. That guy looked really fast. But, I mean, it's not necessarily the same thing as in-game functional
speed. A moving target.
But I still think you can see that guy has got a little bit of extra pass rushing juice. So it's good to see that.
Right. I completely agree. Any other one, maybe one more position or guy that you think could be big?
That has a lot to gain in training camp this year. You know, maybe a position, the safeties. You know, I know we've talked about that being a big competition, and you sign a guy in free agency, you probably want him to play a lot. You draft a guy in the second round, you probably want him to play a lot, hopefully sooner rather than later. But I don't think Keith Tandy or Chris Conte is giving up their jobs without a fight.
Yeah, so, J.J. Wilcox, another one with injuries we haven't gotten to see.
That's
so,
right, yeah. So those guys, the safeties, because two of them have a starting spot to earn.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. All right, well, we have two more segments coming up. One of those is getting to your Twitter questions. You can keep sending those in. Use that hashtag BucksLive. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
That's O.J. Howard behind the defense. He'll make the grab. Touchdown, Alabama! midfield. Shot for Godwin, who makes a catch and will scamper for a touchdown. Got it. Over to run. Heavy traffic. You guys, Stevie T clogged it up. Throws downfield. O.J. Howard is wide open. And once again, the tight end will victimize the Tigers with a huge play.
Welcome back to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. We're continuing on. We're still going to have another segment after this. It's going to be getting to your Twitter questions. You can send those in using hashtag BucksLive. For right now, last segment, if you missed it, we talked about who had potentially the most to gain in training camp. Now we're going to get into more of the season and who we think the most improved players might be this year. So this is another thing that training camp could help us figure out as we start watching, man, who really looks like they improved coming off the offseason. But for right now, overall, the whole team, and it, I guess it doesn't have to be people who were with the Bucs even last year, but just people that from last season to this season could be the most improved. So I think probably take the rookies off the table. That obviously is a little unfair to compare a college game to here, but people that have been in the league.
We should probably say up front that anybody we say could be improved this year doesn't mean they were poor previously.
Right.
No matter how good you are, you can get better. And a lot of players use that kind of thing as a mantra. Like, you got to get better every day because if you don't, you're getting worse. So, I mean, we could say Gerald McCoy, even though he's been to like five straight Pro Bowls.
Yeah.
And he probably intends to be. I know he talked about that during the offseason. But some of the more obvious ones, the number one one you really want the answer to be true for is Jameis. And of course, he's been quite good for 2 years.
Right.
But you need your quarterback to take the next step, right? I mean, I don't think anybody expected Jameis Winston to step right in and be Aaron Rodgers from day one. You know, Aaron Rodgers wasn't Aaron Rodgers from day one.
That's true.
Tom Brady kind of was, but he's kind of a different animal altogether.
Yeah.
So I don't mean to say Tom Brady was Aaron Rodgers from day one. Tom Brady was Tom Brady from day one. Didn't want to get anybody to get confused there. Anyway, you're looking at me like I'm crazy. Anyway, Jameis has been good, and it's probably the arc you would have expected that he's had so far. But your quarterback, you need to get your quarterback into that upper level of NFL quarterbacks probably in order to start winning some championships, which is the ultimate goal, obviously. So we want that to be the answer, right? And that's going to mostly depend upon doing better with protecting the football. You know, I was just looking at his numbers last year. I mean, he had like almost 4,100 yards and 28 touchdowns last year. Just a mild improvement of that, let's say 4,250 yards and 31 touchdowns. That's what Andrew Luck did last year, and everybody loves Andrew Luck. He's a superstar, right? Jameis had 18 interceptions last year, and so those and that's what they're working on. I mean, no, this isn't a mystery to anybody. If Jameis makes just an expected improvement in terms of the numbers he is putting up, and then can also significantly reduce the turnovers, that's a huge step forward. And the that alone would probably take the Buccaneers from 9 wins up into playoff level, I think.
That's interesting. Who's another player maybe? Let's go with defense next.
Vernon Hargraves would be a good pick, I think. And we saw that on the practice field during the offseason and heard about it. You know, I don't think Dirk was real keen on the idea of pointing out this guy had a great offseason, that guy didn't, and so on. But he did, when those types of questions were asked, did point out that Vernon Hargreaves, as he put it, was like making splash plays every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw some of that.
Yeah, that consistency.
Making picks constantly. And what did he have last year? One or two interceptions?
Yeah, and one was off a tip that
yeah.
it wasn't
still a great play.
It was a great play, but it wasn't quite the clean pick I'm sure he
yeah.
wants.
Well, and I guess he actually contributed to a pick mm-hmm. six when he broke up that one in San Diego and,
yep.
and Levante got it. And those are the type of plays they're looking for from him, and that's what he's been doing all offseason. And we've already – I don't want to belabor the point because we've talked about this specifically several times before, but – he looked good, but it was what you'd expect from a rookie. You know, he didn't jump in and become the best cornerback in the league from day one, but he steadily improved and really showed a lot of promise. And the coaches wanted him to take the next step by being more aggressive. And they talked about that all offseason, and apparently he's doing it. And, you know, rely on the obvious talents that you have that made a team want to take you with the 11th overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
And unlock them by being more aggressive.
Right.
So I know more big plays.
The offensive line is a unit that a lot of people have said that they hope improves
a good point.
As a unit.
Yes.
So is there an individual player along that line that you think could end up being a most improved player?
Yeah. I'm not going to say Ali Marpet because he already was probably one of our best guys last year and he's moving to another position. The guy you'd probably say that about is Donovan Smith. And the good thing about that is his trajectory is suggesting that will happen. He was much better in the second half of last year than he was in the first half. And he's still also a very young guy and still mm-hmm. learning the league. And the way Dirk put it when he was talking about him in June was that he needs to cut down on the penalties that he has accumulated. And he says when he's playing and play more consistently. And Dirk said when he plays more consistently, he's really, really good. And he can be really, really good. And that's the kind of thing you would expect a young player to get better at as his NFL career goes along. They talk about that all the time, consistency, you know. And so they've seen his ability to be a dominant offensive lineman. They just need to see it play after play and game after game. And he seems like a very good choice for a guy that could take another step. So that was a good point on your part.
And that would be – I think that would just make such a huge difference if
yes.
– I mean, that position of
left
all –
left tackle,
like,
yeah.
For that one to take another step up when he was already playing really solid
yeah.
in a lot of ways, I mean, that would just make such a massive difference in Jameis being able to just – and we talked about needing those deep balls. He's got to have time.
Yeah.
As fast as DeSean Jackson is, he's still got to have a little bit
yeah.
of time to get down there.
Yeah, exactly.
And that would be huge. How about we flip over on the defensive line?
Yeah, that's good because I was going to say you talked about the importance of that position when you – when NFL people talk about, like, the hierarchy of the importance of positions, we kind of were just going down them there.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback, left tackle, cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other one probably in there in some order in the top four is defensive end. A pass rusher, a sack
yep.
guy. And, again, we mentioned him in the first segment, Noah Spence. Everybody, his teammates are all predicting a big leap forward for Noah Spence. You know, Robert Ayers thinks he's going to have double-digit sacks, which is something we've been wanting around here for a long time. So that would be huge for the Buccaneers. And I could see that happening. I mean, why are all these guys and coaches too? Why is everybody raving about him? It's not coming out of nowhere.
Right.
I mean, there's something they're seeing, and I tend to believe all of them. I mean, when they're all saying it, it's easy to believe. I mean, he still has to go out and prove it, but that would be a good candidate for a guy who would do that.
So many people have talked about how much his physique has changed. How do you feel like that could or might not affect the type of player he is? I mean, is he just going to be a more effective version because of that, or
yeah.
do you think that actually could change the
probably,
style?
No, I'd probably not. I mean, I guess conceivably if you what's that he shed weight but added muscle,
mm-hmm.
you could be faster, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
You saw it kind of – I think it helped Jameis Winston to sort of transform his body a little bit. And one more guy we should probably mention here in terms of improving in his second year or this year he's in a battle to win the job first, but Roberto Aguayo, if he wins the kicking job again, obviously that trajectory needs to go upward, and you would expect that if he wins the job, it would indicate that it has been.
Right.
And
that's a
good
point.
That's very good for the Buccaneers. Not to say that if Nick Folk wins the job, that's a bad thing. One of those two guys is going to have to win it and our kicking game will be a lot better than it was last year.
For the competition.
Presumably, hopefully.
Yeah, that's accurate. All right. Well, we still have one more segment coming up. That's going to be getting to your Twitter questions. Keep sending those in. Use the hashtag BucksLive. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite, Casey Phillips and Scott Smith. Time for our final segment, which is getting to your Twitter questions. You can keep sending them in throughout the segment. Use that hashtag BucksLive. All right, so our first one comes from Joe, and he says, I heard the supplemental draft was today. Why does that not seem to be a bigger deal?
Well, it's not a big deal. It's not. I got to be honest, I didn't even realize it was today until you told me that.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then you told me you were going to read that question, so we did a little bit of a
discussion.
We did a little bit of a quick research, and there were two guys, I don't even know their names, there were two guys that could have been drafted, and neither of them were drafted. So we can't really consider that a big deal, right?
Right.
It's really just a procedural thing. The supplemental draft is for anybody who was not eligible at the time of the regular draft, but in the interim has become, which often has something to do with maybe a problem at school or something. And so they've decided, okay, I'm done with college. They apply to get to be eligible for the supplemental draft. The good thing is that even if they don't get drafted, they have to go through that first. Now that those two guys, whoever they are, were not drafted, they can sign with any team, which is probably a pretty good chance they'll sign with somebody. Maybe they'll sign here and I'll learn who they are.
Right.
I mean, the Bucs have only ever done, and it's been, the supplemental draft has been around for a long, long time, and the Bucs have only ever used it one time. And they drafted a guy, a Miami defensive tackle named Dan Cilio. People out there probably know that name better because he became a radio sports broadcaster guy. But it didn't really work out. Yeah, I think he played like 19 games for us. There have been a few names down through the years. I'm pretty sure, and I'm not 100% sure I'm right about this, didn't have time to look it up, but I'm pretty sure Bernie Kosar, the famous Browns quarterback, was one. And there was something having to do with the positioning there, how Chris Carter, I've just been told, I think Josh Gordon. So who was a great receiver, although he had problems and hasn't been able to get back in the NFL. So, those guys come along from time to time, but most years, one at the most guy gets drafted. And the way that it works, it's not anything like a regular draft because nobody wants to take all that time.
Right.
You just, every team sends in their own bid. The other teams know what they are. So you'll say, okay, if he's there, I would spend a fourth-round pick on that guy. And then whoever has the highest, and it follows the same order as the draft, the last one. So if we had sent in a fourth and nobody else did, then we'd get that guy for a fourth-round pick that we then wouldn't have next year. But if somebody else said they'd do a third, then they would get him.
Interesting. Okay, our next one comes from Mark, and he says, would Ryan Smith be a potential candidate for that most improved player discussion?
That's a good choice. All right, Mark. Smart fans today.
Smart fans.
They've taught me that there was a supplemental draft today.
Yeah, all these things we didn't know.
And, Ryan Smith's a good choice. For him, though, it's a little bit unusual because he's changing positions or changing back to his original position. So it's not like we're going to say, boy, he's a much better cornerback than he was last year because he was a safety last year until sort of the end of the year in practice. But that'd be a good one. And, another area that he could even improve upon where he already was good was on special teams. And after you told me this was going to happen to you, that you start
forgetting the names because we've been
after
gone.
Russell Shepard.
There it is.
Became our number two, essentially receiver after Vincent Jackson injury and some other injuries, Cecil Shorts and so on. They stopped using Russell Shepard on every single gunner play, and so Josh Robinson was having an awesome year as a gunner, and the two of them together were a great pair. So they had to get somebody else in there to replace Russell Shepard, who we're all going to miss because he's a great guy. And Ryan Smith did that job really well.
That's true.
But I imagine we can all remember that amazing play where he, he got the
Michael Jackson lean.
Yeah. But he probably wasn't, as a rookie, he probably wasn't awesome every time out. So if he could become as good of a gunner as Josh Robinson was on a game-to-game basis, that would be a nice step up for him.
All right. Sarah wants to know, what is going to be the biggest struggle for Ali Marpet moving to center?
Oh, I imagine it's probably mostly mental because you're sort of the quarterback of that line when you're the center. You're the one calling out what you're seeing, defense. He's the guy that points out which guy might be the Mike linebacker, which they do that all the time because that kind of tells everybody what their assignments are. Now, he'll point to him and go, that's the Mike middle linebacker, and it doesn't matter what the other team considers him. That's just in our schemes and what we see in the defense. If I know that's the Mike, then I know that's the Will and that's the Sam, and I'm supposed to get him or I'm supposed to get him or whatever. So he's got to call out adjustments, got to, call out the defense. If there's any changes, he needs to communicate that to everybody. And I imagine that's what it is. Just I think we would have heard if he was having problems snapping the ball. I mean, I guess he has to learn shotgun snaps, right? He's got to be pretty consistent with that. And I didn't hear him having problems with that. Somebody asked me a question. I think I put it in a mailbag. Somebody had heard that maybe Ali sweats a lot, so would that be a problem snapping the ball? And I'm like, that's kind of silly, but I was willing to answer.
Very
I went,
funny.
I went and asked Coach George Warhop, and he just laughed. He's like, all of us sweat our butts off out here. He's like, he doesn't sweat any more than anybody else. We're all sweating, so that's not an issue.
That's true. Amazon did that All or Nothing series on the Rams last year, and obviously they came to play the Bucks during the season.
Right.
And it's so funny because they show them doing their walkthrough in Clearwater, and they came from, you know, California, where it's not that hot. And then you can see all of them are just dying.
Yeah, because that was September, right?
Yeah.
And people think that, like, summer here is over at the end of August. It's still really, really hot, usually all the way through September for sure, and often into October.
It was pretty funny watching all of them just talking about how much they were sweating.
We've got a rapidly coming together indoor facility right through that window.
We can see
it
right over there. It has gone up incredibly fast. All right, Shane wants to know, offense as a whole, defense as a whole, which one improves more this year?
Offense.
You seemed really sure about that. There was sort of a question mark at the end of that answer.
Offense?
It felt like offense?
Because I think the defense made its big leap during the season last year. And if they could play just as well as they played in the second half of the year, that would be good enough. Now, you want them to get better, but it's probably not as big of a leap forward. When you talk about the offense, with all the guys that were added and the chance for this to be, I truly believe that there's an opportunity for this to be the best offense in the Buccaneers' 42-season history. And I understand that that's not clearing a huge bar like it would be if you were talking about, like, the Colts or the Patriots or somebody, but because offense hasn't really been the Bucs' calling card throughout their history. They've had some legendary defenses. But really, the collection of talent that we have, and the young quarterback is still only 23, and the receiver's still in 23, and then you throw in DeSean Jackson, and the new tight end, O.J. Howard, Cam Brate's coming into something. We were just talking about the offensive line. If they can give him time, you got to believe this offense is going to be a lot more explosive, and that's huge.
Real quickly, we only have about 30 more seconds, but two players that you're excited to see match up against each other at training camp.
That's quick. How about Chris Baker and Ali Marpet?
Ooh, because that's a good one.
We know what Gerald McCoy can do up the middle, and Chris Baker's supposed to team with him and really give us all that push. I'd like to see him and then Ali having to snap the ball and still deal
and
with him.
And then block. That's a good one. I like that. All right, well, that's going to do it for us on Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll see you next week for our last show before training camp is finally here. Have a great rest of your week. We'll see you then.